Okay, well, I heard somebody could turn this down a little bit if they would. Thank you, Hannah. I heard someone on the radio that was saying, should we celebrate July 4th this Sunday or next Sunday? Because July 4th is on Wednesday, right? And so we've decided to celebrate every Sunday or next Sunday and this Sunday, if that's all right with y'all. But we're going through a series. Thank you for the choir for their beautiful music today that gets you in the mood for July the 4th. We have been going through a series on how to grow in your faith. And today we are going to talk about what it means to meditate on the scriptures. And we're going to look at Psalm 1. But before we do, I want to try a little exercise, everybody, this morning. I want you all to get into it with me, if you would. I'm going to say half of a phrase, and I want you to complete the second half of the phrase out loud. Okay, we'll see if it works. You ready? Plop, plop.
Yes.
Okay, oh, what a relief it is. Melts in your mouth. Okay, good, good. Bring me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Okay, take me out to the ball game. This one's... Now listen to a story about a man named Jed. Okay, some of you know that one. Okay. Help, I've fallen. Okay. Like a good neighbor. Oh, guy, you know that one. Thy word have I hidden in thy heart. Good, good. Did that well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, that wasn't as clear. Some of you are going, You know, we've got these phrases that we know by heart, that we've learned these phrases because we've heard them so many times. We've heard them on the television, we've heard them through songs, and we've learned these phrases and we've internalized these things, but sometimes I wonder, we don't internalize the scriptures like we used to. They did this little exercise once in a gym with 3,000 high school students. And they were rattling these off. The kids were rattling them off. You know, they knew the answers to all of them. And then they got to this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and there was nothing. They didn't know them. They weren't on their heart. They had not internalized any of this stuff. And, you know, if you memorize and internalize scripture in life, you think that's a good thing for you? It absolutely is. You know, they did a study in our country, and the average Christian spends 10 minutes with God a day and 3 hours on social media. And I'm not just talking about young people. There's older folks that spend at least 3 hours on Facebook every day. You know, huh? The devil. You thought the devil book. You don't like it. But, you know, we learn this stuff, and we internalize this stuff. And what this scripture is about, this psalm, if you look at a copy of the book of Psalms that was written years ago, I mean in the Middle Ages, the first psalm would have been copied, handwritten, on the front cover. Because the first psalm is like an introduction to all the rest. And so originally it was not called the first psalm, it was actually just the introduction. And it talks about what you should be doing with everything else in this book. And so, you know, it goes through how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor in the assembly of the righteous. nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And that whole song is an introduction to all of them. And it talks about there are two paths you could go, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. And there's two different ways you could go. Now, there was a parent who had some trouble with his uprising sixth grader going into middle school, and the boy kept making some bad decisions. And so his dad, he got put in school suspension, and so his dad sat down with him and said, "Son, I've got to have a talk with you." And so he's deciding how he's going to do it, so he took out a napkin, okay, and he drew this on the napkin. And he said, "Son, I want you to think about this." He says, "You are going down a road, and then you get to a fork in the road, okay? And one side goes to the Lord, and one side goes to the devil. And so you need to make a decision which way to go. And why do you always keep choosing the wrong way?" And, you know, we've all done that to kids. "Why did you do that?" And they'll go, "I don't know." But this kid thought it over, and he said, "Dad, I think you've been holding this the wrong way." And so he takes a napkin, and he holds it, let's see, like this. And he said, "Dad, what happens is I'm going down the road, and the way the devil has is downhill. And it's easier to go downhill than uphill." And he said, "Not only that, when I start going down this road, if I decide I want to go the other road, I got to go all the way back uphill, and then I got to go uphill again." Isn't that true? When we want to do the right, it's so easy to do the wrong thing. It's so easy to take the wrong road. And this psalm talks about which path will you take, which road will you take. I want to look at this whole psalm piece by piece for just a few minutes. He said, "How blessed or how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Now, this is a progressive deterioration of ability to get through things that other people can't get through. So it gives you stability. Second, it gives you character. It gives you character strengths in your life that the Bible talks about. Here in this verse it says, if you do these things, you'll yield fruit in your season. The tree yields fruit in its season. An apple tree doesn't necessarily have apples all the time. It has to be the season for apples. And in your life and in my life, there are some seasons that you have where you're going to have fruit, but maybe not always. You might go through a winter time in your spiritual life where you don't feel like you're really having a lot of fruit that you can show it for it, but that's okay. That's just the way God has made us. He made trees to have fruit at certain times and not have fruit at certain times. So what is the fruit of the care of a person? I believe it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit. You have these things in your life, And they come out of your life, and that you won't wither because you are like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Derek Kidner wrote about this, a commentary on this. He said, "The tree is no mere channel piping water unchanged from one place to another, but it is a living organism which absorbs the water and produces in due course something new and delightful, proper to its kind and its time." And if you're like a tree, and if you're absorbing the Word, and you're having a regular quiet time and regular time of studying the Bible and meditating on it, then this kind of comes into your life, and it's like it didn't make you grow overnight. I mean, trees don't grow overnight. You plant a tree, and it takes a long time for it to get big. If you're lucky, you know. You have to water it and take care of it, and it grows. And your life spiritually will grow, and your character qualities will grow in peace. You'll grow in patience. You'll grow in kindness. And if you ever meet somebody who says they've been a Christian their whole lives and never have grown in those things, it's because they never really have been spending time with the Word. They've never been spending time with God, and they haven't been growing properly. And they're like what Paul talks about, that you're just spiritually infants, tossed to and fro about anything that happens. And so the psalm goes on. It says, and if you do this, if you are a tree firmly planted by streams of water, you'll yield fruit. And whatever you do, you'll prosper. You'll be blessed. You'll have blessedness in your life. You'll have happiness in your life. You'll have God blessing you because you are doing the things that you should be doing. You know, you're like the tree that's firmly planted by the water. And everything you do will prosper. And that's the good news. Now, we've been talking about this, what it means to have a quiet time, a time alone with God. And if you missed my sermon last Sunday, I believe it's the most important sermon I've done this year. And so if you missed it last Sunday, I challenge you to go online and listen to it, or to we can give you the notes from last week. But it was about on how to have a quiet time, how to have your personal devotional time, and how to do it, and what it's about. And the three things that I talked about that it was about, it included a time of approaching God, a time of Bible reading and meditation, and a time of prayer. These three. And so approaching God might be that you take the first few minutes to say, Lord, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to sit in my chair. I pray that your Spirit would speak to me, and you can read a psalm. And just, you know, let the busyness of your life go, and do this early in the morning and do this late at night, and have you start out with just approaching God and centering yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to put away everything else, and I ask that you be present with me right now. Then the next part of your devotional time is to read the Bible. That's why I believe that Christian meditation is different than meditation from other religions. In a lot of Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism and transcendental meditation, I don't know if it's religion, but it's a process, what people do is they empty their mind and you think of nothing. And you just kind of sit, and you hum a word, and you just become completely empty of everything. That is not what Christian meditation is. If you look in the history of Christianity, people who have meditated on this do not meditate to just empty their mind. They meditate on the scriptures. They meditate on the Bible. They read the Bible. Now, this is different from Bible study. Bible study, you know, you really work on it. And you say, okay, let me figure this out. Let me go get a commentary and let me look it up online. And what does that word mean? And what does this mean? And how could I use this to talk to other people? That's not what this is. Meditation in your quiet time, in your private time, is a time in which you don't do it in the same way. Christian meditation, I'm going to say it has three parts. Fixing the mind, inclining the heart, and enjoying or crying out. And what do I mean by this? Well, the first, fixing the mind. That means everyone, if you're going to have a quiet time, if you're going to have a prayer life, this is part of it, you should have a place in the Bible that you're reading right now. Everybody here. If I was to take a little quiz that you walked out today, say, well, where are you reading the Bible right now? What do you do? Every one of us should. I'm reading right now on Luke 16. That's the chapter I'm on this week. And so I'll spend a time, I'll just read it slowly a couple of times. I read Luke 16 slowly, and I think about it. I'm just reading it, you know. And then secondly, after I've read it for a while, I'll ask myself a few questions about what I just read. Questions might be like this. Any personal examples to emulate or avoid that's here for me? Any commands that I need to obey in this chapter? Any promises I need to claim? Any warnings that I should heed? And all these are in your notes page. You can use these note pages to get you started. So you read it slowly a couple of times. You ask yourself some questions about what you're reading. You could do it this way. You could emphasize, if you're just doing one verse, you could go word by word of that verse. You could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, so your Lord, what does that mean? Your Lord, and you are today, you're presently shepherd. How are you like a shepherd to me? And while you're doing this, your mind may get distracted. You might think, well, I know my wife needs to know, hear this one. I need to tell her about this one. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. In your own quiet time, this is for you. This is the Lord speaking to you. This is not for anybody else. And so when you meditate, you're meditating on what the Bible is saying to you. You might go through each word. You might try paraphrasing. Say it in your own words. Instead of saying, the Lord is my shepherd, you say, well, the Lord is the one who takes care of me. The Lord is the one who is my provider. The Lord, and you might say it in different ways, and you're kind of repeating this to yourself, and you're internalizing, you're fixing your mind on the text. Secondly, it's not all a mental exercise, it's an emotional exercise. Incline the heart. And here you're not just looking for information, you're looking, well, how is this going to really make a difference in my heart today? Look for something about the character of God which you can praise Him for. That might be in the verse. What's wrong about yourself which you can repent for? That when you read this, you're convicted about. What is needed for which you can petition God about? Maybe there's something in that chapter or that verse and you need to ask God for something. What about the timing of this? You're reading this text now, and you're reading this verse, and maybe before you read it, and it didn't do anything for you, but right now, it is saying something new to you, and you recognize that, and you internalize that, and so you're inclining your heart. You're opening up your heart. Sometimes we get hard-hearted. We're so tough. We say, I know all that. I've heard all that before. I don't need to hear that. That's nothing new for me. Put that away. Open your heart. Say, Lord, what's something new I need to hear? How can you speak to me? Maybe it's the 23rd Psalm and you read it your whole life, but all of a sudden, what's going on in your life right now, you really need to hear it again. Third, enjoying or crying out. Now, first, I want to talk about enjoying. So, part of your meditation should be savoring what you just read. You ever eat something and you really never tasted it? One of Sharon's brothers, the slowest eater I've ever seen. I mean, he eats so slow, but he really tastes his food. I can sometimes I went out to eat a steak Friday night, and before I knew it, it was gone. And Sharon said, was it good? And I said, I guess so. I didn't really taste it. I should have tasted it, savored it. Sometimes the Lord may be speaking to you, and you need to just sit there and think, wow, that is good. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. I really never thought about that, Lord. And so part of your quiet time is spending time meditating on the Word, fixing your mind on it, inclining your heart to it, and then enjoying what He's given you. Maybe take 10 minutes doing that. Or, and this is going to happen, if you do this every day, there are going to be some days when you read it and you think, I got nothing. And maybe it's because of you, maybe it's you too busy in your heart or in your mind. I don't know why, but there are some days when you're not going to get a lot out of it. And so what do you do then? You say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I knew a pastor of a church, a black congregation, and they would talk back to him the whole time he was preaching. And one Sunday, the woman kept saying, help him, Jesus, help him. And he's thinking, well, I guess I'm not doing too well, And there's some days when you need to cry out to God, help me, Lord. I'm not getting it. I don't understand. The Psalms have many lament psalms in them where really they're complaints to God of how long and why and how could this happen? And so you can voice that to the Lord in your meditation time. You know, to spend time with God and meditating on His Word is so important. And that's what the first chapter of the book of Psalms is all about. If you do what this first chapter says about all the other chapters, what a difference it would make in your life. If you start having this habit of every morning spending 30 minutes with the Lord, every night spending a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and I know some days are hard. Some days you just got so busy. But listen, if we don't do this, think about what the Lord has done for us. This would make a big difference in your spiritual life and my spiritual life. You know, it not only would affect your prayers. For instance, we talk about how your private life spiritually will come out when you pray publicly. And that's true. Do you know it works the other way too? When the people pray in this church, it affects us all. We should be shaped by the people who lead us in prayer. And you should be transformed and think, wow, I never thought of it that way. What a great prayer. And that's because spiritually God is pouring into the people who are voicing their prayers. And that overflows to others. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it does work. Now pray that we will do it. That we'll have a place. Do you have a chair? Do you have a place? Do you know what scriptures you're working on in your life? Pray through the Psalms. Find a chapter in the Bible. Start. No better day today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the good news of your Son who came to